We'll go to Luke chapter 7 this time. Going to 7 and verse 18. All right, stay with me. John's disciples told him about all these things, calling to them. He sent two of his disciples to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus ignored them. It doesn't say that. At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So then, after he went on with his ministry, healing, raising people from the dead, then he turned and replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf ear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." So, what was John's problem? I mean, really, he's the guy that introduced the Lord, saw what he was doing, and yet he sent his disciples to ask him who he was. Well, John knew that Jesus was the Messiah. He knew that. So, but he didn't know if he was the one who would set up his kingdom, just as all the Jews thought the Messiah would do when he came. This is in part why they rejected him. They weren't expecting John, but they had suspicions that John was Elijah, so they went and asked him, "Are you Elijah, or are you the prophet?" John said no, and now confusion, right? Jesus said that he was Elijah, but John said, "No, I'm not." So, after he sent them away, I want to go to Luke 7. Did I do Luke 7:21? I did do that. But I want to go to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 6, I'm sorry, verse 5. Yeah, I want to read just 5 and 6. And it says, "Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy." And just stop right there. Isaiah was talking about this very time that Jesus was healing and doing these miracles, which is 500 years ahead of time before Jesus came. So, what was Jesus telling the disciples of John? Go back to John and tell him to recall what Isaiah prophesied about me, his first coming. So, when I said about prophecy, switching gears in one sentence, take notice that This is in verse 5 and only part of verse 6. Verse 6 says, then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. And then it says, water will gush forth in the wilderness, and the streams the desert. He just shifted gears. Isaiah is now talking about 2,500 years, not 500 years, when he goes on to say, the burning sand will become a pool of thirsty ground, bubbling springs in the haunts where jackals once lay. Grass and reeds and papyrus will grow, and a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. That's us. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. So clearly, he was talking about two different time frames. So he was talking about in verse 5 and half of verse 6 about Jesus' first coming. And in the rest of the chapter, he was talking about his second coming. So, this is what he was telling John, that, yes, I am the Messiah. I am the one that you said was going to come. But there is also another coming, the second coming. So, let's see where I was supposed to go from there. I lost my note here. I'll find it in a minute here. Get my papers all shuffled up here. Okay. There we go. So, anyways, that was what came to me yesterday, that part of it. So, now I want to move on to the book of Revelation. So, now we're really jumping ahead in time. So, we'll go to Revelation chapter 11. And verse 3, and it says, and I will appoint my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Okay, who are these two witnesses? Well, now we're talking about where Elijah comes on the scene. So, it says, jump down to verse 6. Verse 6 says, they have power to shut up the heavens, these two witnesses. They have the power to shut up the heavens so that it will not rain during the time they are prophesying. And they have power to turn the water into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they want. So how long are the days of their prophecy? You go back to verse 3, it says 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. So, who in the Bible held back the rain for 3.5 years? Exactly. If you go to Luke chapter 4, verse 25, it says that he had the power, that he shut the heavens for 3.5 years. So, who in the Bible had the power to turn the water into blood and strike the earth with every kind of plague? Moses, right? Turned the whole Nile River into blood. And we know all the plagues that came upon the land, upon Pharaoh. So that was Moses. Now, that would make us believe that it's Elijah and Moses are the two witnesses. These two witnesses are going to appear during the seven-year tribulation period. And I'll get to that shortly. But just want to say that I'm aware that some Bible teachers out there do teach that Enoch would be the other one, Elijah and Enoch. And it's a very credible argument. You have to go back into the book of Zechariah in chapter 4 and do a really in-depth study on the two olive trees and the lampstands, and then you get into Revelation, and it's interesting, but because my salvation doesn't depend on who these two witnesses are, I'm going to go with Moses and Elijah. Okay. So now what we're seeing here is a pattern of two Elijahs. One is John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus' first coming, and Elijah, who prepares the way for Jesus' second coming. So let's go back to the beginning of the message and ask again, what was Jesus saying in Matthew 11, 13, and 14? And now I want to read this one this time from the Good News Bible version, because I think this really brings out what the message that I'm trying to get across to and what Jesus was trying to get across to them. So, reading from the Good News Bible, it says, up until the time of John, all the prophets and the law of Moses spoke about the kingdom. Verse 14, and if you are willing to believe their message, John is Elijah whose coming was predicted. So he's saying, if you're willing to believe their message, what was their message? We're talking about the prophets. So let's go to Isaiah 40, back to the book of Isaiah, and we'll go to chapter 40. And verse 3. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 says, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert of our God. Okay. And I'll flip back to Malachi again and read verse 1 again, which we read before. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. So now I want to go to the meat of the subject, and I think Ben, we put the chart up now. I made a chart up, and I have Ben put it up. But I want to say this: when you see the chart and you listen to what I have to say about it, it brings out the point that Jesus was trying to make. If they would have accepted his message, if they would have accepted John the Baptist's message, then this is what would have happened. However, before I do that, I just want to say that our sovereign God had his plan for the ages all laid out before the foundation of the earth. Nothing will change his mind. Nothing will change his plan. And the Bible says in Galatians 3:8, It says that the scriptures look forward to this time when God would make the Gentiles right in his sight because of their faith. And that's from the NLT. And then, let's see if I can get this up here. Go to Matthew 12. Oh, how many of you were really paying attention to Pastor Mel last week? Pastor Mel used this same verse in his message last week. And chapter 12 and verse 18. Is that right? Yes. It says in verse 18, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love and whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations," or to the Gentiles in other versions. So I just want to point out that God's plan all along was for the Gentiles, for the 2,000 or plus years of grace, that whereas the Gentiles, us, would have an opportunity to be saved. However, this is very curious what Jesus said. Can anybody read that? Can you read it? No, okay. Well, right here, so it says Jews, by not accepting Jesus' message, he said, if you can accept my message. So this is what happened because they didn't accept his message. So here you have John and Jesus. So John came before Jesus and preached repentance through baptism. For we don't know how long a period of time before Jesus come on the scene. Then Jesus comes on the scene, and he says that if you can accept my message, Elijah has already come. So let me look at my chart. I got my chart right here. So they have all that time from the time that John started preaching, the time of Jesus up until the cross. Jesus, in spite of all of the miracles that he did, the word that he preached to them, they still could not accept him. So why did they not accept Jesus? Let me see. Why did they not accept Jesus? Because they were looking for Elijah, who was to come, the one who would restore all things. And John the Baptist was not that Elijah. They were looking for Jesus. They were looking for their Messiah to come and set up his kingdom right then and there. They were living in terrible, terrible times under Roman rule. For all these years, they were looking for the Messiah to come and set up his kingdom. That would be right there is where he would set up his kingdom. Now, why didn't they believe that John was Elijah? Because he asked them. They asked him point blank, "Are you Elijah?" They were looking for the Messiah. And he said, "I'm not." They asked him if he was the prophet. He said, "I'm not." So they didn't accept that this was the Messiah that was to come. So you have all this time, 3.5 years approximately, between that John and Jesus preached the message. They didn't accept it there. They didn't accept what he had to say. So they crucified him. All right? They didn't believe he was Jesus. They crucified him. However, that was not their last chance. It was not their last chance. Jesus died on the cross, was resurrected, came back to the earth, appeared to multitude of people. Graves were opened up. People were walking around. And Peter and Stephen, they were preaching the message in Acts 1 through 6. They were preaching the message. So they still had the opportunity to fulfill what Jesus was saying, if you can accept it. The bottom line here is, if you are willing to accept what I say, if they were willing to accept what he said, it would have stopped right here. You would never have had 2,000 years of grace. You would not have had the 7-year tribulation period. The 1,000-year millennial would start right here. So they have one more chance, and I want to go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. All through Acts chapter 1 through 6. Peter was preaching the message. And don't get me wrong now, they didn't all reject his message. Peter's first sermon, it says 3,000 were converted. But think about this. The Bible also tells us that there were people there from every country, every known country were there, and they heard the apostles speaking in tongues. And it was in their language, their own native language. They were hearing, so people all over the world. So we don't know how many people were there. 20,000, 50,000, could they fill a stadium? And only 3,000 were saved. So, and that's a pattern that we're going to see right up until until we're resurrected, the rapture. So what happened to my chart there, Ben? We lost it. Okay. So there's the millennial period that's coming up, but first we want to read Acts chapter 7, verse 55. It says, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" And what did they say? They covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices, and they all rushed him and killed him. Heaven was open right there. Right there. Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Stephen said, "Look up. Look and see." What did they say? Let's kill this guy. Let's kill him. So the point that Jesus was making is right there. If you can accept it, what I say, then John would have been Elijah, who prepared the way of the Lord. And the kingdom, the 1,000 millennial reign kingdom would have started right there. None of us would be here. We wouldn't be here. It would have been all over 2,000 years ago. But as I said, this was God's plan. This was God's plan. And thank him for that. So in case you don't know about the 1,000 year millennial that I'm talking about would have been set up then there, then I suggested you go to the book of Revelation chapter 20, which has about 15 verses, six times it refers to the 1,000-year reign. And we will rule and reign with Christ during that 1,000-year period. So that pretty much says it all. And I just want to say, for the people who were following through and want to continue the message, I want to go back again to Isaiah 40 again. And I want to finish up with that. If you go back to Isaiah 40 and you read verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway of our God. If you're taking notes, write this down. Verses 4 and 5. It says, every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places will be a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Write down in your notes there, and then Isaiah chapter 55. So you read verses 4 and 5, go directly to Isaiah 55 and read the whole chapter, and you will see that it was all about the 1,000-year millennial period. So I ask you, was John the Baptist Elijah? It could have been. That's it, Pastor Mel. Thank you.